This will be transhumanism number 3. Now, what has been going on has been quite an unheard of revolution in science, in universities, and what it portends for the future. Now, transhuman means more than human. And they also have the phrase post-human. In other words, we have graduated beyond being human. Now, there is a tremendous amount of scientific endeavor going on, which I will get to here in a little bit, concerning humans. But Jim gave me this 10 technologies that are going to change the world in 10 years. Now, let's look at an example of how the Bible fulfills things, not in the minimum, but in the maximum. Okay? Let's come to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Book of Daniel, Daniel 12. And this becomes important for us to understand. Now, this is Daniel 12. And this is a scripture we've gone to how many times in the past to explain things that have been taking place, to show what is happening in the world. And this also helps us to understand what God is telling us and how then important that the book of Revelation, when it talks about all people, all nations, the whole world, how it involves all of them. And it means just that. So we know the Word of God is truth. And we know that God has given us the truth so we can understand the things that are going to take place. But we live in an age which is completely unimaginable by those who wrote the Bible, by those who translated the Bible. And I was watching a documentary just this morning called The Scriptorum, which shows the history and preservation of the Bible. And they did quite a very, very good job in showing it. But you see, the thing is, God has preserved His Word. And God wants it to be a witness to the whole world, and also published in the whole world. And so we see that happening just exactly as God said. Now, how much time we have toward the end? We don't know. But we do know that Harold Camping was wrong twice this year. He said May 21st and October 21st, and he doesn't understand that when it gets down to the final analysis of things, when we get to the end, when the earth has been shaken, the heavens have been shaken, it's going to cause day and night to get out of sequence. But more importantly, there's going to be the sign of the Son of Man shining like a second sun out there. And so who's going to know which day is which? That's why it says that only God knows. And only God knows the times and seasons under His authority. We don't know. However, we're told in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, where Paul wrote and said, "Now, brethren, you know the times and seasons," which means that the church of God, the brethren of God who study the Word of God, are to know approximately how these things come by events. But we're not told how thorough that the fulfillment is going to be. Now here's a really good example. Daniel 12 and verse 4. "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." how is knowledge going to be increased? I mean, look at all of us just sitting here in this little room here today. Ready to go? Now here in verse 4, it says many. Now how many is many? All right. How many people are on earth today? About 6 billion. What if we have more time? One scientist has said that the way things are going now, we will have to build on earth a city to take care of equivalent of 1 million people a year. No, it's more than that. Not a year, a month. A month. More than that. I think it's a week. Okay. So the many includes how many? Well, here we have 100% of us drove to get here, so we're going to and fro. You drive through the neighborhoods, and how many cars do you see? Rarely one. I know in the neighborhoods around where we are, I count them. 2, 3, 4, as many as 6. Run to and fro. That means all kinds of travel, all kinds of going. That includes airline, bus, rail, car, motorcycle, kiddie car, bicycle, everything you want. Okay? Subway, tram, all of those. And knowledge shall be increased. How much? What kind of knowledge? Now, I've read this scripture over and over, and I've given many sermons through the years where I say, well, knowledge is increasing. And you think you reach a certain point, that how can it get any more? Now, if we look at both of these and understand that God is going to fulfill these to the maximum, this will help us understand what I'm going to read to you next. 10 technologies that will change the world in the next 10 years. Now, it shows a picture of a bicycle, a working bicycle. You know how this bicycle was made? With nanotechnology and nanomaterials, it was printed layer by layer by layer by layer. Have you seen these schematic drawings where they have all the parts? Now they fit all together. Well, they took that schematic drawing and they made this fully assembled. And it works. Now, there are a lot of people in top jobs, a lot of governments involved in it. Almost all universities are involved in the science of transhumanism, which covers many, many aspects of the scientific fields. So one of the chief futurists at Cisco. Now, Cisco is the one who develops the means by which they have machines to print a bicycle. What else do you think that they're working on that they would like to do by printing? Human organs. Lose a kidney? Oh, come on into the hospital. We'll print you a new one. Give us a little of your DNA and we'll make one up just for you. Well, hooray. Everyone said that's a great thing. Okay. So his name is Dave Evans, and he's the chief futurist and chief technologist for Cisco International Business Corporation. Now, he's outlined 10 trends that will change the world in the next 10 years. Let me give you 2 which will be a catastrophe. He talks a little bit about it here. And as I was watching that video on the Scriptorum, it was talking about how the businessmen would smuggle in William Tyndale's New Testament and Bible into England, and then they would gather them all up and burn them. Now, I want you to think big on this. What is a way to destroy all accessible knowledge? Put it all on computer systems or clouds. Get rid of all physical books. You don't need books. You got your iPad. You got your book reader. All right. then in one stroke, you can lose every bit of it. Cloud technology can be gone. All computers can be fried. One powerful magnetic storm that hits the earth in such a manner will eliminate in the blink of an eye all knowledge that man has accumulated. So everyone who thinks, I am a high-tech guy, I've got this device, and I have that device, and I've got the Bible on computer, that's fine. But if you don't have the real thing, what are you going to do? They've even talked about those who have Kindle and subscribe to Kindle. If they cancel a book, you can plug in, and they'll delete it from your Kindle. Bang. See, so the thing we need to understand is technology can be good, can be evil. But given the mind of men under the power of Satan the devil, guess what's going to come out on top? All right, how many here are on the internet? About everybody. Okay, we are at the office. Number one, the Internet of Things. They are developing new support systems. One of them is the IPv6, and it supports seemingly limitless conductivity. That means connectivity, conductivity, connecting everywhere. I mean, today, I call Randy and talk to him, and we're talking about a program that he's editing. He edits our church at home. And I'm talking about, you know, something, and while I'm talking, he's sitting there at his computer and dialing up on Google, and he says, oh, here, I got it right here. I mean, immediately. See? So all of this is in the realm of knowledge shall increase. So Cisco predicts that the number of internet-connected things will reach 50 billion by 2020. Now, that's unimaginable, which equates to more than 6 devices for every person on earth. Cell phone, computer, laptop, even your television at home. They're now going to put Wi-Fi right in your television. What else do they have? Okay, well, whatever. That's 4 of the 6. Okay? So many of us in the developed world have 3 or more full-time devices connected to the internet when factoring in PCs, smartphones, tablets, television devices, and the like. Next up are sensor networks using low-power sensors to collect, transmit, analyze, and distribute data on a massive scale. Your little old computer printer is going to be nothing. Won't be able to handle it. Then it gives all the things there. Now, here's one thing they've done in Sweden. There's even a tree in Sweden wired with sensors. Now, you know, trees emit sounds. Almost everything in nature emits sounds. They've discovered that there are sounds coming out of the sun because they just now discovered that there are waves, you know, going around the sun. And each one of these waves sends out a sound. So I got to report the singing sun. Okay? So here's a tree, wired with sensors that tweets its moods and thoughts. Wonder what happened. Go up and you hug the tree. Whoa, I love you, tree. Ooh, <doo-doo-doo-doo."> You know? Another guy comes up with an axe, going to cut it down. Help! Okay. With a bit of translation help from an interpretive engine developed by Ericsson. Now, if you don't believe me, I'll give the internet site and you can check it out. Here it is. Ericsson. E-R-I-C-S-S-O-N. Ericsson. That's the Swedish spelling. At Connected Tree. Let me know about it when you check it out, okay? Erickson, Erickson, at ConnectedTree, probably .com, .Sweden, whatever that is. Okay. All right. Let's talk about knowledge, how it's going to increase. Number two, not just big data, but a zeta flood. Now, have you ever heard of the term zeta in relationship to the quantity of knowledge? About 5 exabytes. Now, what's an exabyte? I don't know what an exabyte is. Okay? Shows you how ignorant we are. That may be above terabytes. A lot more, okay.
One exabyte is 5 times as many words as has ever been spoken.
Really?
In the history of mankind.
1 exabyte.
One.
5 times the number of words spoken in the history of mankind. Boy, you're never going to say you're running off at the mouth anymore. Okay. 5 exabytes of unique information were created in 2008. That's 1 billion DVDs, fast forward 3 years, and we are creating 1.2 zettabytes. With 1 zettabyte equal to 1,024 exabytes. This is the same as every person on earth tweeting for 100 years or 125 million years of your favorite one-hour TV show. You talk about wasting time in front of the television. Our love of high television, high-definition television accounts for much of the increase. By Cisco's count, 91% of internet data in 2015 will be videos, which means they are making the machinery for it now. And that's something we need to pay attention to in what we're doing. Okay. Much of Cisco's development focuses, not to mention its marketing, and preaches that so-called Zeta Flood will require vastly improved networks to move more data and not drop the ball or packets of our beloved videos. Now, that's everything. Number three, the wisdom of cloud. How many have seen the advertisement on television? You know, in the cloud, you can get right here, what is it that we have? Charter communications, you can get cloud service. Now, cloud service is renting a space in a server somewhere where everything that you do is no longer in your computer. When you turn your computer on, it goes up to your cloud. So if you don't store that somewhere, they could take your cloud away on a rainy day and you would have nothing. Okay. All right. So here it is. It went up, it will jump 20% per year, and they're encouraging everybody to use cloud technology. And as I mentioned, that's going to be a real Achilles heel. They don't like you. They can take away everything that you have. Oh, where did it go? We'll look for it. Okay. Okay, cloud computing could top $1 trillion in revenue by 2014. That's 2 years away. That's enough to create the next Google. Already the cloud is so powerful enough to help us communicate through real-time language translations, increase our knowledge from access to powerful supercomputers such as the Wolfram Alpha, and improve our health using computer platforms like IBM's Watson in new ways, says Evans. We're able to communicate in much richer ways. Not something. Now, we're going to face all of these things. Now, the Bible never told us in detail about this. See, this is why Jesus said we are to watch. And we're going to see where this leads to. All right. Number four. The next net, which is multiple, multi Terra networks. In other words, you can send terabytes in the blink of a second. Multi-terra networks using lasers are being explored. Early work is happening on a concept called quantum networking based on quantum physics. Now, quantum physics is very interesting. I've got another book, which I'm going to use to quote from on another one of transhumanism, which is this. A biologist got into quantum biology. And now all of these top scientists know that behind the physical things that they are investigating and studying is spirit. Now that's going to be interesting. I'll save that for another one. Okay? Number five, the world gets smaller. A smaller world means faster information dissemination. Tweets from people in Japan during the recent earthquake were sent to followers even before the U.S. Geological Survey could issue its first official tsunami warning to Alaska, Washington, Oregon, and California. People are on it. And you hear them talk on television, especially with the so-called Arab Spring. Now, what's happening with the Arab Spring? That's all developing into the area for the King of the South. There's a lot of development yet to go on. What about Europe with all of their problems? Well, there are a lot of problems with the euro, and that's going to develop into the King of the North. So you see, every time we say, now it's set. I remember, what was it, back in the 1970s, before the fall of the Berlin Wall, there was an article in a religious magazine which said, the 10 nations in Europe are assembled. There will be 5 from Western Europe and 5 from Eastern Europe. And these equate to the 2 legs of the image in Daniel, the 2nd chapter. All right. Eastern Europe and Western Europe are not defined today the way they were then. So you see, that's why we have to be alert to all of these things. And we have to not make dogmatic statements that it's going to happen exactly at this point, whatever that may be. So what will happen here is the capture, dissemination, and consumption of events are going to be near time. That's what they are now, near time. It's going to translate to real time. Okay? Now, let's come to Matthew 24 here for a minute. And how many times have we gone over this chapter for prophecy? How many times have I have said, and others have said, that Matthew 24 is for the end time, though the prophecy began in Jesus' time? Okay? Now, let's ask a question. Obviously, if you're in Judea where they were, they experienced false Christs. They experienced wars and rumors of wars, which ended in the destruction of Jerusalem. They experienced seeing nation rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. They experienced seeing famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. Then Christ says, verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then it blends in to the end time from there on. They were delivered up. Yes, a lot of them were martyred. But the book of Revelation tells about a future martyrdom that is going to happen in our day and beyond our day. And I think we will understand a little more why we will be totally hated by so many people, because we won't go along with transhumanism. I'll explain that later as we go along in this series of sermons. Verse 11. Many false prophets... No, let's go back to verse 10. Now, I checked this out the other night just to make sure that I translated it correctly, and I did. It's in the passive tense, and it is to be led into error or sin in the passive tense. Okay. Then many shall be led into sin. Is that happening today? If you don't believe that, just watch the Christmas shopping. It's like lemmings. You know? They can't even wait to get there by 4 o'clock in the morning. No, they got to start at midnight. See? How about led into sin concerning rejecting the word of God? Led into sin through adultery and fornication. Led into sin because of all of the false reality that's found on television. Led into sin because there is no moral standard. You can see that with the uproar that the students had at Penn State because Joe Paterno was fired. They wanted to put Joe Paterno ahead of those victimized boys in the pedophilia thing with Sandusky. Why? Because they have no moral standards. Why? Because they are taught that there are none. So therefore, we want our hero. We don't care about other people, see? And shall hate one another. Well, that sounds like the Congress. Okay? Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Again, many. What does the many mean? It means the majority of people. Is that true? Has that happened? Yes. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Now, lawlessness. Many forms of lawlessness. And all the transhumanism that's going on to put into humans genes from other humans, genes from animals, is lawlessness. And the love of many shall grow cold. They don't even know what love is. I mean, think of this when you survey your television channels. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. So there are two endurances. One to the end of your life, and you're faithful, you'll be resurrected. Two, if you're living in the end time and you are faithful through that time period until you're either martyred, taken to a place of safety, or changed in an instant twinkling of an eye when Christ returns. And this gospel shall be proclaimed in all the world. Here again, all the world. And God is going to use many people to do that. And it's going to be for a witness to all nations, then shall the end come. Now, put all of these in the time frame of real time news on television. Now, just this morning, they had a near time event. The U.S. drones killed 26 Pakistani soldiers. They now have given the U.S. 15 days to get out of that Air Force base that they have in Pakistan. That's near time, real time, right as it's happening. And what they did, they showed a Google picture, because they have the whole Earth mapped by satellite, photographed. So they showed a Google picture of that airbase, near time. So take all of what we just read in Matthew 24, and put that in real time. And also do this. Put it in the context that there are Christians everywhere in the world. Many of them we don't know about because God is dealing with them at their level where they are. Some of them we know about. We have our part to do. They have their part to do. God has provided the means by causing the Bible to be printed, to be digitized, and now downloadable on any electronic device in the world if someone wants it. Now that is quite an effective witness. That's to say nothing of the two witnesses that we covered recently, what they're going to do. So here, all the Christians scattered around the world, Then an event takes place right here in verse 15. Therefore, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Now, let's ask a question. If Christians are scattered all around the world, how are they going to see that? How are you going to see it? Right on your television, real-time television. Now, notice something else we have read here over and over again. Okay? The one who reads, let him understand, that was inserted by John, as we've explained, because John was given a vision of the temple in Revelation 11, and he knew that the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed in 70 AD. So he put this in here because he didn't understand it, and he knew it was for a future time. All right, little piece of information. Jonathan got this for me because we have said, which is proven out to be true, the Western Wailing Wall and viewing up toward the Mosque of Omar is not where the temple was, because Jesus said all these stones will be cast down and not one upon another. Okay? Guess what? They have discovered through archaeology where they were digging under the wall and they came to one of these ritual bath areas. And in this ritual bath areas, there were things thrown in it, and they found some coins that were 17 AD. Okay? That means that this was after 17 AD, and it wasn't Herod the Great that did it. It was his great-great-grandson that had did it. And that area has always been, from its origin, Roman property by the Roman Empire, and then other empires succeeding, taking it over. Now, we know that the temple area is going to be south of that. So now the Jews have official Jewish knowledge where the temple was not. So this solves the problem of creating a great furor with the whole Arab community by, you know, some Jews saying, well, we need an earthquake to knock down the Mosque of Omar and we'll build the temple there. No, we'll go up and take it. We'll get all the Israeli troops. Well, they'd have 100 million Arabs over there instantly if they tried that. So now they are going to discover the place south of the temple area, like Dr. Martin and others have known about, and he has since passed away. But know this for sure, Jews will never accept the testimony of a Gentile concerning their business. So, they're going to find that that is so. Now, think about this next statement. Then let those who are in Judea flee into the mountains. Question. We've never asked this question. Okay. It says, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation. Now, if we have real time seeing this around the world, this is also telling us that only those in Judea are going to flee into the mountains, correct? If you're not in Judea, you're not going to flee to the mountains, correct? Something else is going to happen. You're either going to go to a place of safety taken there by angels, or you're going to be martyred. Now, how would we know about this in America, what we call America? Try any country in the world, South Africa, Australia, anywhere. Okay, so this is telling us something specific for Judea. It's not telling us the rest of it, because Jesus told the disciples, go into all the world and make disciples in all nations. Do we have that today? Yes, we do. And we have, you know, like with our website and how many other websites, we're on there 24/7 around the world. Anyone can get us anywhere. We even get questions from Pakistan. So the world is getting smaller and real time. Okay. Number 6, the power of power. Oh, here's this Here's this quote. The human population also continues to grow. Evans estimates that a city with 1 million inhabitants will be built every month over the next 20 years. More efficient methods to power those cities are becoming a necessity, particularly solar power. Now, we don't know how that's going to work. I don't think solar power works very well at the North and South Pole. Okay? However, they have plans for doing some of those things. Okay? In June, the Oregon State University researchers showed off a novel, relatively affordable, low-impact method to print solar cells with an inkjet printer. No wonder Solyndra went broke. Okay. See what's going to happen? More people are going to be out of work, and the solution will be the mark of the beast and give everyone so many digital dollars or whatever they call it every year for not working. See, now we've got to think about this in the years ahead, because as long as we live, we've got to be preaching the gospel and doing the things we need to do. And we have to adjust what we do with the world and the environment that we see it, not adjust to behaving like them, but to adjust the message of God to reach them on a level that they need to be reached. Okay, number 7, T. Now this one, I don't know how they're going to do it. This is bound up in what is called nanotechnology, using atoms that you can use and build things with. Now they even have this in the form of some medications or foods. They have found that medications, vitamins, minerals, food, all have a certain electromagnetic signature or frequency. And what they say they can do is, instead of eating the food, you put that frequency in specially compounded water and you drink it. Can you taste it? I don't know. If you enjoyed Thanksgiving, that will be kind of a bummer, won't it? Everybody line up for Thanksgiving. Here's your jar for the meal. Okay. More items will move from physical to virtual. Today we download ebooks and movies rather than bound books and DVDs. A technology called 3D printing will allow us to instantly manufacture any physical item, from food to bicycles, using printer technology. This is strikingly like the replicator concept of Star Trek. How many here were Trekkies? Some of you were. All right. Doris has said for years, every time we have a prophecy sermon like this, she says, Satan always telegraphs what he's going to do in the movies before he does it. And he's doing it. Okay? Okay, 3D printing and additive manufacturing is the process of joining materials to make objects from 3D model data using layer upon layer. Just keep printing it. Just put a little layer, a little more layer, a little more layer. All right. Okay. Then the problem comes up when you do human organs. How do you make it living tissue? That's the question they're working on. All right. Trend number 8, another family tree, transhumanism. Virtual humans, both physical robots and online avatars, will be added to the workforce. Then he talks about how that will develop. I'll talk a little bit more about that here in the next part of the sermon. Number 9. Yes, there is a cure for that. They think that they're going to cure all human sickness and disease. Number 10, humans or Borgs, because there will be cyborgs, which are transhuman. According to Stephen Hawking, humans are entering a stage of self-designed evolution. Right? Keep that in mind. Taking the medical technology idea to the next level, healthy humans will be given tools to augment themselves. Don't have to take vitamins anymore. Just plug into a computer. Rip. Have you seen the ad for this machine that they have in the movie? I forget the name of the movie, but they took this scrawny little guy, you know, and they were drafting him into the army. And then he got there to the army depot and so forth. Now they're going to make a soldier out of him. And the first thing they do, they put him in a special chamber and they have all of the technology that all of a sudden just augments his body, and they open it up and he walks out with muscles and strength and a better brain and all of that sort of thing. See? Well, this is what they're talking about. Here's what they have done, just to give you a couple examples. In July 2009, Spanish researchers discovered substance for photographic memory. Oh, give that to me so I can eat. Oh, yes, let me eat that and my brain will be better. Or just inject it into my brain. I want my memory back. Oh, this will cure what? Alzheimer's. October 2009, Italian and Swedish scientists developed the first artificial hand with feeling. March 2010, retina implants restore vision to blind patients. See what they're doing with all of this. They start out with the benefit. They start out with the good. 2011 in June, Texas Heart Institute develops a spinning heart with no pulse and no clogs and no breakdowns. Eventually, designer enhancements will be available to all. And then, ultimately, human beings will use so much technology to mend, improve, enhance, or our bodies that we will become borgs. Cyborgs. Now, what's missing in all of this? Well, we'll come back for the second half and we'll tell you. There are two things that are missing.